following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
And welcome. Welcome to Sunday worship at Emmanuel. We had just an incredible time last Sunday of sharing. It was one of those times when it's really evident how in control of a situation God is, even when it feels like it can be totally out of our control. We had a speaker all set up, and he got sick and is still sick, and we're still praying for him. He's waiting some test results, so I'd invite you to continue to pray for Brady as he waits for results and continues to get better. But it was this time of, what's going to happen? And then this time of God kind of saying, hey, I got this. It's okay. I'm going to make something really incredible out of this situation. And so we got this chance that actually took our Same Passage Five Ways series into kind of the Same Passage 10 Ways, because we had six folks from our own congregation share about how Micah 6:8 had been speaking to their lives over the last month specifically. And what was really cool, I thought, was that there were six very different things. It wasn't six people saying the same thing. It wasn't six people who had had the same experiences. It was six people who had had unique experiences of how God had been speaking through Micah 6:8 in their lives, how God had been pointing out this passage to them in different areas of their life. Stories of how God opened eyes and hearts and how his word was opened to us through that. And then we had the chance to share it and to acknowledge it and to celebrate it. And that to me was so cool. That's part of what a church family is about, sharing and acknowledging and celebrating what God is doing in our lives, whether it's through a particular series or whether it's has nothing to do with what goes on Sunday morning, but just the way that God is working in our lives. And so it was super cool for me, and I know for many of you, probably all of you who are here, to hear those experiences of others. We had the freedom to talk about exactly what God was saying to us, what God was reminding us of, what God was requiring from us in really specific ways, kind of more specific ways than we'd gotten into before. So instead of looking broadly at doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God, we heard specifics. We heard about God speaking through gleaners and through sort of a mishap with the TD's camper that led them to gleaners. And I think Jerry left out one of my favorite parts of the story. Maybe he didn't, but it doesn't hurt to share it again if he said it anyway. Was I think Kristen said that there were pictures on the wall of some of the folks that these meals, the soups that had been packaged, had been sent to. And there were pictures on the wall of some of the people who had received it. She looked at the wall and said, I know those kids. Those are kids that we worked with, that we spent time with, that we got to know in Africa last summer. How cool. How cool is that? Here a camper breaks down and it looks like a disaster. Or minor disaster, I suppose. And God says, hey, look at how all of these things I have in control and how I'm using this ministry to facilitate this other ministry that you're a part of that you had no idea had any connection to. I just thought that was the coolest thing. We heard about God's word being written on the beams of houses before the drywall or gyprock, is that what you call it here in Canada? Goes up? All right, fair enough. You know, and just that desire to live out walking humbly with God through that verse. We heard specifics. We heard stories. And through those stories, we learned some of those things that the folks in our church are passionate about. And that really couldn't have been any better way to lead up to today's sermon, by giving us a chance to start to learn and continue to learn, really, what people are passionate about, what people care about, and most importantly, what God is placing on people's hearts. and putting in front of people to become more passionate about, more engaged in. And that learning about one another and about one another's passions has been part of, you know, I'm going to say this is at the heart of the four big questions. So there's like five things that are at the heart of these four big questions. So this is the first thing that is at the heart of the four big questions. That people are able to ask and answer honest questions about who we are as a church family, who we are as individuals, who we want to become and dream to become as a church family, and then what our role is in that. I'm like a slide and a half behind. There we go. So back in June, I preached the story of the man who was laying beside the healing pool, the man who was so close to that pool for 38 years to being made well. But he just never got there. He never got himself into the pool, and he never found a way himself to be made well. So we're going to look again at that story because it has some real great imagery for us as a congregation. We're going to take the chance to look and like, that was what was so cool about the Micah 6:8 passage. We got to know that passage of scripture so well. And this is one of those ones that I just love and I think will continue to speak to us. And so we're going to look at it again. As we continue to do the work of becoming increasingly missional and increasingly healthy. So I'd invite you to open up your Bibles and your Bible apps to John 5. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring one to you to keep if you'd like. That's one of the joys of our church family, to give the Word of God to those who desire it. So let me pray for us this morning, and we'll jump into the story from John. God, thank you for the blessing of today, for the time to be together, to worship together, to fellowship together, and to engage in your word together. We ask that you be with us this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit fill this place. We ask that your word speak to us all this morning. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So to give a little different spin on this text, I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's The Message. So you'll probably be able to follow on if you don't have the same version. So beginning in verse 1, John 5, verse 1. Soon another feast came around, and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool in Hebrew called Bethesda with five alcoves. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were in these alcoves. One man had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he had been there, he said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, someone else is already in." Jesus said, "Get up, take your bedroll, start walking." The man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and walked off. That day happened to be the Sabbath. The Jews stopped the healed man and said, "It's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules." But he told them, "The man who made me well told me to. He said, 'Take your bedroll and start walking.'" They asked, who gave you the order to take it up and start walking?" But the healed man didn't know, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. A little later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "You look wonderful. You're well. Don't return to a sinning life, or something worse might happen." The man went back and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. That is why the Jews were out to get Jesus, because he did this kind of thing on the Sabbath. But Jesus defended himself. "My Father is working straight through, even on the Sabbath. So am I." So I wanted to read a little bit further in the story this week, because that exchange between the man who was healed, the Jewish leaders, and Jesus, I think kind of helps continues to speak to us in what Jesus is doing continually in us. So in June, we focused quite a bit on the man who is by the pool, right? We got to know more about that pool itself. We tried to understand how it could even be that this man was still by the side of the pool 38 years later. After 38 years, how could he not get himself into the pool? How could he not read the rhythms of the pool and position himself in a place to maybe just roll in? How could he not ask someone to help him in? It all begged a very frank question from Jesus, a question that I think we have to ask ourselves today, and really a question that Jesus is asking us continually. Do you want to be well? Do you want to get healed? Do you want to be made well? It seems maybe like an unnecessary question, but I think we have a fair idea that Jesus wouldn't have asked it if it was really unnecessary. Jesus doesn't do a whole lot of unnecessary things, and the gospel writers certainly don't write down the unnecessary things that Jesus may have done. There is a reason that Jesus asked the question of this man, and there's a reason Jesus asks this question of us. And that, again, is one of those things that is at the heart of these four questions that have been in front of us all summer. It's an opportunity to hear with maybe a little greater clarity what God is speaking to us and hear that question from Jesus, do you want to be made well? Jesus forces us to ask ourselves and to ask one another these real questions, questions that mean something, questions that have the potential to be life-changing. Jesus asks us to be a part of something greater, something fuller, something deeper than anything we can possibly know. And you know what? Jesus asks us to answer out loud. Jesus asked the man by healing the pool for an answer. It wasn't a rhetorical question. There was an answer that came after that. The man responded. The man was forced to make some sort of verbal commitment. He was forced to be about something, right? He was forced to say, yeah, I want to be well. Even if he didn't really use those words, his words were a little bit weak, but it was still the statement that he made. Jesus forced the man to make a decision. And why? Because not making a decision, not having to answer out loud for 38 years, had left the man still lying there right next to the healing pool. He wasn't healed. It didn't make him any better. Jesus just flat out asks the man, do you actually want to be well? And the man responds. The man says yes, sort of. But yes enough. He makes a declaration that, yep, this is actually what I want. I'm not going to just position myself near it and let people think that's what I want. I actually want this. And Jesus heals him. I bet you've heard people talk about the importance of actually saying something out loud. Herman Hesse, and I'm probably mispronouncing his name, which I'd get in trouble for by one of my college professors, but whatever. German novelist, he's probably most famous for his novel Siddhartha, said, everything becomes a little different as soon as it is spoken out loud. Everything becomes a little different as soon as it is spoken out loud. I know that that's true for me, and I think about that a lot. I often find myself in this funny place, maybe not so funny, of having great ideas. At least they seem like great ideas to me. But they're in my head, and I let them stay there. I let them dwell there. I build them all up, like, yes, these are the best ideas ever. Sometimes they have to do with like diets or exercise, that kind of thing, maybe most common. Sometimes it's phone calls or emails that I need to send, that kind of thing. And I build it up to be like, all right, what a great thing this is going to be. And then I start to get overwhelmed by the fear of, well, what if it doesn't turn out quite that way? What if I'm wrong? What if I made a mistake? What if someone shoots it down because they know better? What if someone shoots it down even though they don't know better? And what if, and what if, and what if? And I often end up whatting if that idea to death, or at least into a coma. But as soon as I take that step and say something out loud to someone else about it, and usually the diet thing ends up being Erica, sometimes someone else, there's that different level of commitment that I have then made to it. And Erica tries her best not to be like, not to bug me and not to, but to remind me that this is something that I actually committed to, not something that she is making me do. But it makes everything different when that's said out loud, because there are now others who are holding me accountable for that commitment that I've made. The man at the healing pool had that accountability from Jesus, even though he didn't know initially that it was Jesus who he was making this commitment to. And it allowed him to make a real decision and then to continue to live into that decision even when the Jewish leaders questioned him about it. And so as we read on in the story, the man was confronted by Jewish leaders about carrying his bedroll, and the man explained what had happened. He continued to live into the words he spoke out loud. And so we all have that same opportunity as well. And again, this is one of those things that these four questions were about for all of us, taking the time to answer Jesus out loud in clear words about what we want for our church family and what we are willing to be a part of in this church family. And that's not something we can just escape. And really, we shouldn't want to, right? We shouldn't want to just kind of show up and let happen and then get frustrated if things aren't exactly what we never said we wanted. It sounds silly when you say it like that, but that happens everywhere, not just here. So, I've been mentioning kind of all throughout August as I've been reminding people about the four big questions, all of the great things that I've heard and read and had shared with me by folks as they've wrestled with and prayed over these four questions. I've learned where people's passions are. I've learned more about people's gifts. And I know that folks have continued to learn from one another, that there have been small groups of people who have been meeting and talking about things. And that's wonderful. And for those of you who haven't sat down yet and typed out or written out or committed to some time with a group of people to really go over these questions, don't worry. They're not going away. They're really just the beginning, the continuing of a process to be more and more healthy, more and more missional together. It's an ongoing process that requires that we all have honest conversations, dialogue, and that we learn from one another where our passions lie. I was telling Erica yesterday that I wasn't going to say this next part because it was this like, well, it's in my head, and I think it's really great in my head, but as soon as I say it, well, what's going to happen? And I've already talked about it with, a number of folks in the congregation, talked about it with council and all that stuff, but there's something different about saying it out loud. I'm really excited for us as a congregation. We've been invited to a process or a pathway through our denomination called Navigate. So it starts with this, retreat, and it gives congregations tools to continue to ask these questions together, whether they're in small groups or in big groups, but to be moving forward together, to be more and more healthy and more missional. And that's a big deal because there's only three churches from a given conference that get invited at any time. And so it's a wonderful recognition that there are great things happening here at Emmanuel, that the conference and the denomination wants to build on and invest in our leaders to grow together. And so there will be some leaders from our church who will go to a retreat in Minneapolis in November. Who knows why Minneapolis was chosen in November, but there it is. We have lots of other great places that there could be, but whatever. There's not even Twins games. I can't even go to a Twins game. I'm so bummed. But it's this awesome opportunity we have as a church to continue to ask these questions, continue to dialogue together, continue to walk together and be honest with one another about where our passions lie, and to be willing to commit to something, to commit to one another for something, to talk to one another about what we're willing to be in this church. That just being in this church isn't enough, but that Jesus calls us to more. Jesus calls us to more than that. Jesus calls us to health and to vitality and to be missional. I think it's going to be a really exciting ride for this church. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be challenging. But I'm so pumped to know that Jesus is in the midst of all of that. And that's what we have that reminder in this text from Jesus as well, right? As the man who was healed experienced, there'll be questions, people who don't agree or who are frustrated, don't understand, there'll be confusion. But there is that acknowledgement, that nudge, that push, that reminder from Jesus about who he is, that he is going to continue to walk alongside him, he's going to continue to remind him, lead a healthy life. Look how well you're doing. Let's keep going. Let's do this together. And that's the reminder we have in this as well. Do we, Emmanuel Covenant Church, want to be well? Let's take the opportunity to answer in clear words to one another and then take up our mat and walk. Heavenly Father, thank you for asking us questions of ourselves. Thank you for helping us to deal with those things, to say out loud those things that otherwise we would leave unsaid and buried within. We pray that together we live out that kind of honesty and authenticity as we walk together as a church family. Jesus, thank you for nudging us and for pushing us and for continuing to ask the questions of us when we don't immediately respond. And Jesus, thank you for loving us. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.com.